have I searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. When the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was freed. And I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. And I'm free from the fear of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Well, glory to God, free at last. Well, I'm telling you, one of the reasons we can serve God and we can feel happy about it and joyful about it is because I'm free. I don't have to be concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity. That's already settled. I don't have to go about my business from day to day and be concerned about what's going to happen to me. I already know what's going to happen to me. Hey, one of these days when I die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I already know that. So because of Christ and that's settled, then you know what? I can serve. I can be happy. One of the things we all ought to decide to do this year is decide, you know what? Nothing's going to steal my joy. Nothing's going to steal the joy of the Lord that lives within me, and that's that hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And by the way, it may be today. Could be. You say, it ain't going to be today. You don't know. You don't know. Could be today. I don't know about you. It wouldn't bother me if the Lord came back today, would it you? Take your Bible, 1 Thessalonians. I can tell some of you excited, some of you not. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's all right. I'm just going to be excited about it, whether you want to be excited about it or not. Because, listen, folks, I tell you what, it's going to be a glorious day. Going to be a glorious day. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I hope that you will take me seriously about stopping by and picking up one of the brochures that will help you read through the Bible in a year. Because I want to preach to you this morning, church, the working power of God's Word. The working power of God's Word. First Thessalonians 2, if you would stand with me, out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9 and read down through verse 13, with verse 13 being our text verse for the message this morning. The Scripture says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Listen now, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And I want to take that, the last portion of that verse, and where it talks about effectually working, he says it'll work in you, it'll effectually, it will accomplish that which it intended to accomplish, and it will produce the effects that it intended to cause. And the scripture says that it effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want to take that phrase and that portion of scripture and preach to you this morning on the subject, the working power of God's word. Now, Father, we're thankful for the privilege of being in church today. Lord God, you know there's not a person in this room honest with you that wants to fail in any area of their life. But Lord, we realize that if we don't get back to the Word of God, if we don't get back to storing it in our heart, in our soul, and beginning to apply it to our everyday life, Lord, we're going to be in trouble come this year in so many different areas of our life. So I pray that today, that every believer this morning would grab a hold of the truths that will be presented this morning and use them for your honor and glory. And we'll thank you for your precious word that we have in our hands this morning in the King James Bible. And we're grateful, Lord God, that you gave it to us in the English language so that we could understand it, so that we could apply it today. And we look forward to what you're going to do this year through our church and through every individual. And I believe, Lord, it's all based on the word of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you'll do. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, often we'll feel ill and maybe begin to run a little fever sometimes, and usually that's a good sign that there's infection somewhere in our body. Now, our body, created by God, is a very complex creation, but when God created us and gave us our body, He installed in us what is called an immune system. Now, that immune system, its greatest reason that God put that in us is to fight off infection. Now, let me say this to you. Sometimes the infection is more than the immune system can fight off. Sometimes the infection takes hold of us and it causes us to become ill, or it causes us to become weak. Now, usually when we feel sick and we feel ill and we feel weak, normally the next thing that we do is make a doctor's appointment. I said the next thing we do is make a doctor's appointment, unless you want to fight it off yourself, and then it takes longer to do that. Now, what will happen is you can fight it yourself and you don't go to the doctor and you don't have to get anything for it. It's going to take you longer to get over it. And then when you get over it, you didn't kill it. It just went dormant somewhere. It'll be back. Yeah, it'll reappear at some point and at some time. You see, normally we go to the doctor. Now, if your doctor is like mine, he's a good man, but a lot of times I diagnose myself. And I just go and pay him the money to get a prescription. And so what he does is, I diagnose myself. He says, that's exactly right. That's what the paper says. And that's what the problem you've had. So I'll diagnose myself, and he'll write me a prescription, and I will go and get an antibiotic. Anti, against, bios, life. It's something that I can take that will attack the infection. Now, you say, but I thought an antibiotic was life in itself. It is. It's just a stronger life that'll go and attack the bacteria that's causing my infection. Now, usually, it takes a few days, but the antibiotic will begin to work and I feel a lot better. But always remember what your doctor tells you. Don't just take it until you feel better. You take the whole prescription. Because you're going to need the whole prescription in order for you to get better and be at the place where you need to be. Now, let me say this to you, church. An antibiotic is nothing more than a stronger form of life that can destroy the bacteria in me that's causing the infection. Now, usually, without an antibiotic, the infection increases in strength, and you may feel better for a while, but like I said, the infection, if you don't take the prescription, a lot of times it'll just go dormant somewhere and will come back. My doctor, many times, because I have the same problem with upper respiratory problems from time to time, and I'll go see him 3 or 4 or 5 times a year, and he said, did you take the whole prescription? I said, yes, I do. Now, sometimes he may increase the prescription, but a lot of times what we do is we only take it until we feel better, and then we think, I'm feeling better. I don't need that. It's kind of like how we treat the Word of God. You know, we don't ever go read the Word of God until we think we need it. And then when we think we need it, we'll open it up and we'll read a few verses. And boy, I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord, we feel good about ourselves. And pretty soon we'll lay it down. We won't pick it up again until we have another issue. Right? Amen? And so what I'm saying to you is, take the whole prescription. Don't just take part of it until you feel better. Now what I'm saying to you, church, today is this. Today, for every born-again child of God, there's going to come some times in your life that you're going to feel ill in your walk and service for Jesus Christ. There's going to be a bacteria that's going to find its way into your heart and into your spirit. Now, you may be able to fight it off for a while, but sometimes the bacteria is stronger than what you can fight. You see, sometimes we can put on a good facade, can't we, when we come to church and act like everything is fine. Because all we got to do is smile, right? And everybody thinks everything's okay. The problem is, you may be able to fool people outwardly, but you can't fool God inwardly. You see, the thing about it is, what we need is the Word of God. So you say, all right, preacher, what do I do now? What do I need? Well, you need an injection of life into your spirit that will boost you to destroy the bacteria that's causing your illness. Would you mind taking your Bible this morning and turning with me to John chapter 6? John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. I want to show you something here. You see, what most of us need today is we need an injection of the Word of God. And what's the reason that we're having so many issues and so many problems in our life is because we won't take the prescription. I want to show you this in John 6 and verse 63. Are you there with me? Listen to what Jesus said. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Listen now. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Their life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but can I say to you that it kind of seems here that it appears to me that the Lord is telling us that His Word serves as life to us. It's kind of an antibiotic that we need in order to get in to help us with the bacteria that infects us. And may I say to you today, some of us are infected big time, and yet we won't take the prescription. You see, the thing about it is your Heavenly Father has already prescribed what you need. Now, we can sit there and look at the antibiotic all we want. We can sit there and think, you know what, I bet if I took that, that'd help me. But until you actually take it, it's going to do you no good. I wonder how many Bibles you have sitting in your house. I wonder how many Bibles that we have laying around the house that have never been opened one time. That's like most of our medicine cabinets have prescriptions there that we haven't taken all of them. Now, here's what we do. We'll take half a prescription. We'll think, well, I'll save the other half so that when I get ill again, I'll be able to take that. And see, we're smarter than the doctor. And what happens is we only take it until we start feeling a little better because we're going to save the other half because that way I won't have to go back to the doctor again. And what we find out is we go back the next time and the infection comes back stronger the second time than it was the first time. And so we go back and try to take it, and after about 3 or 4 days of taking that prescription, think, man, nothing's wrong. I can't believe the antibiotic must not be working. No, the problem is you're not taking the full prescription. You see, you're not taking enough of it to get yourself to the place where you need to be. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. There is no generic for what I'm talking about here. You have in your hand this morning the King James Bible. The written Word of God for us in the English language. There is no generic. You see, when you go today and you say, preacher, I quoted this verse or I'm reading this verse, I said there is no generic for this. There must be the actual prescription, the words of God. Jesus said, my words, they're spirit and they are life. Not some man's words, not some doctored version. It's the Word of God. It's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, if I'm going to get in me life, I'm going to have the Word, right? So guess what? I got to make sure that I got it.
So how do we know what the word is? I go to the bookstore and there's like 100 and something different. They're all generics. Generic ain't strong enough for what you need. You need the real thing. You say, then I want the real prescription. All right, get you a King James Bible then. All right, that's what you have in the English language. You say, well, I don't agree with that. All right, take the generic then and see what happens. Take it. I'm just telling you folks this morning that there is a prescription, but it's got to be the right prescription. It's got to be the right words that Jesus said are life to you and I. You see, the Lord says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right, if I'm going to have to live by every word, I better get the word, right? Yeah, I better make sure I've got the right prescription. You see, the thing about it is, what good is it going to be to go to my doctor and I've got a problem with upper respiratory and he gives me a prescription for a kidney infection? What good is that prescription to me? It's going to be do me no good. What if he gives me something for something totally that's not my problem? And he says, well, hey, you just came in for an antibiotic and I gave it to you. But it wasn't the right one. Hey, can I say something to you? The shelves are full of generics. They're not the right one. You've got to have the words of God. Those are the ones that are going to get in and attack the bacteria. Now, let me say quickly to you this morning several things. If you'll take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment. You see, the words of God, they're pure words. They're holy words. And God says our problem is that if we'll get them in us, it will work effectually. It will actually produce in us the desired effect. Hey, when I take the prescription, you know what my desired effect is? To be well. Hey, as a born-again believer, is your desired effect to be right with God? To be acceptable to God? To be favorable in the sight of God? Is that your desire and intent? If it is, I got something for you. I've got a prescription. And that prescription will help the infection that most of us are getting in our heart and our spirit today. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. I want to talk to you for just a few moments that we have about some of the working of the Word of God. Ephesians 5, find your place there, and verse number 26. All right, Ephesians 5 and verse number 26. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Now, he's talking about the church here. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water. Does your Bible say by the word? You know what that word is? That's that same word in John 6:63 when Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. He says, until you get an injection of my word into you, you will not get well. Now, folks, listen to me. You've heard it said many times. Either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. You see, our biggest problem in America today is not church attendance. Our biggest problem today is not evangelizing. Our biggest problem is people of God ain't reading the Word. So what we've become infected. We've become ill. We've become sick. That's the reason that apathy is at its highest level today in the people of God. Not in the world, in the people of God. Where does it come from? No word. No word. No life. They're sick. We're ill. Why? It's affected us. Now, did you notice the Bible says that he would sanctify and cleanse it, the church? By the way, stop. Time out. Who make the church up? Us. We are the church. And he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it, that's us, with the washing of water by the word. So the very first work that the Word of God will do in our life, it does the work of cleansing. It cleans us. By the way, you know what my antibiotic did the other day for me when I took it? It cleaned me out. And it got all the infection out. And boy, I was feeling rough, man. I tell you what, after a few days, boy, I tell you one thing, take my word for it, Z-Packs are wonderful. That's what I request when I go in. I says, I don't want to go on this 10-day thing, 5 days. He says, all right, here it is. And I'm telling you, I start taking that stuff, and boy, in just a few days, I'm feeling better, but I don't stop taking it. Why? Because it's got to do the full job that it needs to do. And may I say to you what the Word of God will do for you? It will cleanse you. It's a cleaning agent this morning. It'll attack and overcome any bacteria that you have today. It's good for everything. Hey, wouldn't you like one prescription that could cure all infections? Wouldn't that be great? That way the doctor, all he'd have to do was just sign and write one prescription. Here, that'll take care of sinus infection. That'll take care of this. That'll take care of that. Just one prescription for everything. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Unfortunately, that's not true. But can I say something? I've got a prescription that cures everything. Everything in your life that you'll ever face, there's the prescription right there. It's one prescription to do what? Because it cleanses everything. May I say to you, first of all, it'll cleanse your mind. Can I ask you this morning, listen, I don't want anybody to raise, what's on your mind? Is Jesus on your mind this morning? Is church on your mind? Can I say this to you? Is ministering on your mind? Or is on your mind what's going to happen this afternoon with your favorite team? Is what's on our mind what's coming up tomorrow on our job? You see, what the Word of God will do, it will cleanse your mind. By the way, if you're having problems getting over things of the past, I got good news for you. There's a prescription that'll help you get beyond that. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to get a prescription for that in the doctor's office. You say, but preacher, you don't understand what's happened to me in life or all the adversity that's come my way. There's the prescription. Don't just read a verse. Don't take part of the prescription. You need to take it all. You need to take it all. You see, there's a work of cleansing that the Word of God does. It cleanses the mind. Oh, my goodness, let me tell you something else. It'll clean your mouth. Yeah, it'll clean your mouth up. You know how I know that? Because according to Matthew chapter 12, that one day you and I are going to give an account for every word that we speak. And if we understood that God's going to bring us in accountability for every word that we speak, you know what? Some of us wouldn't say some of the things that we say. It'll clean your mouth up. You know, if you've ever seen a kid with hand, foot, and mouth disease, two or three of my kids had that. It's terrible. But you know what? There's something that'll take care of that. They give you something to take care of that. And then, you know what? After a few days, it'll clean their mouth up. You know what we need for some of us to do to clean our mouth up? The Word of God. Oh, by the way, I'm not talking about cursing. I'm talking about, you know what it'll clean our mouth up? It'll clean our mouth from criticism to comfort. It'll clean our mouth up from judging somebody to embracing somebody. It'll clean our mouth up in every single area of life. You know why? Because when you read about what Jesus did and how He treated people, you'll find out that, you know what? He was always using the right words of comfort, seasoned with salt, full of grace. And that's how we're supposed to minister. But you know how what to do? The Word of God will clean your mind up. By the way, if your mind's not right, your mouth's not going to be right. So you got to clean your mind up with the Word of God. Put it in there. Store it in there. It'll clean your mouth. You know what else to do? It'll clean your motives. It'll clean up your motives for life. Can I ask you, why are you serving God anyway? You say, because I'm getting them crowns. That's what I'm going for. I'm getting what's coming to me. Well, listen, I'm not against going after crowns, but what I'm saying is, what is the motive? Is the motive that we serve is because maybe the preacher will recognize me from the pulpit for doing some great deed? Hey, folks, let me tell you something. We ought to serve God whether we get any accommodations whatsoever from anybody. Whether someone ever gives you a certificate, a plaque, or ever sends you a thank you card, you serve God. It'll clean your motives up. Not looking for somebody to send me a card through the mail to serve God. Hey, I'm just saying to you folks, some bad bacteria gets in our life. You know what the Word of God will do? It'll clean you out. It'll attack that bad bacteria. Okay, take your Bible if you would. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Not only does the Word of God do the work of cleansing, it does the work of changing. It will change your life. Did you find your place? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. The Scripture says, as newborn babes. It says, as newborn babes. He said, but that's talking about people, preacher, that just got saved. Oh, is that right? You see, the thing about it is, if we haven't been inoculating ourselves with the Word of God, some of us are still newborn babes. And he says, as newborn babes, here's what we're to do. Desire the sincere milk of what? Of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The reason maybe some of us aren't changing at the rate that we ought to change is because we're not desiring the sincere milk of the Word. We're not getting enough of the Word of God inside us. Listen, folks, we don't need less preaching. We need more preaching. We don't need less Word. We need more Word. That's the reason we're trying to help you to read through the Scriptures in a year. Read the Word of God every single day. Why? Because it's life. There's life in those words. And yet here Peter says that as newborn babes, hey, they desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know what we're to do? We're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. You know, if a newborn baby never gets fed, it's not going to survive. And may I say to you, if you don't stay in this book, you ain't going to make it. You get out of this book this year, listen to me, you mark her down, put it in 4-inch letters, you ain't going to make it. You're not. You will not make it. You will not survive 2011 if you set aside this book. Why? That's your life. That's what's going to keep you alive. That's what's going to keep you going. That's what's going to keep you in God's favor. You see, it'll change you inwardly. It'll put dedication. It'll put a love for God when you read over and over how wonderful God is and how much He loves us and how much He cares about us. And you read it. You know where you read it? You read it in the Bible. You find it in the Bible. It will change you inwardly. Oh, listen, it'll change you outwardly. Because we're supposed, listen, folks, the Scripture says we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. Now, you listen to me, and you listen to me, every one of you in this room, if you went home this afternoon and cut your TV on and you watched the news, and the ambassador to Russia or the ambassador to China or the ambassador from the United States to any country you want to name stood up in a pair of Bermuda shorts and flip-flops and a T-shirt that says, I love Mom, on it, you'd be offended. Amen. You would. You'd say, blasphemy. That's not us. What is that guy? Who's that guy think he is? Well, whoa now, time out. As a child of God, what's the difference in what he's doing and what we're doing? We're an outward ambassador for Christ. We ought to look like an ambassador for Christ. Most of us have decided we're going to be a bum for Jesus. And you know something? I don't find anywhere that is, anywhere in the Bible do I say that God promotes being a bum for Jesus. But he does promote being an ambassador. And an ambassador is to look like an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We ought to talk like one. Why? Because the Word of God changes me inwardly and it'll change me outwardly. Listen, when I read the Word of God, you know what I still find out? I still find out people are dying and going to hell. You say, well, preacher, let's just let God take care of that kind of stuff. Well, he will through you and me. That's how he's going to take care of it. You say, oh, God can do anything. Yes, he can, but he's limited by us. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Can I ask you, what hands does he have? He has your hands. What feet does he have to carry the gospel? He has your feet. You say, but people are going to die and go to hell if God doesn't do something. No, people are going to die and go to hell if we don't do something. Because we are his ambassadors. He'll change you inwardly. It'll change you outwardly. And may I say to you, you stay in the Word of God. You read about heaven. You read about what we've got going on as far as what God's got for us, a mansion in heaven, streets of gold, forever with the Lord. It'll change you upwardly about your excitement about getting to heaven. Listen, I don't know about you folks. I ain't trying to stay here. People are doing everything they can to try to stay here on earth. And listen, I'm not against exercise. I think you ought to exercise. But you know something? There's a lot of other things that I'm commanded to do in Scripture. And I'm not trying to stay here when God promotes me out. Hey, the Bible says God set boundaries around my life and I'm not going to go beyond them, and neither are you. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to serve God. And when he says, oh, get close to the boundaries. You say, how will I know when I'm close to the boundaries? It may be when God goes, oh, goodness, man, I got tightness in my chest. Oh, my goodness, you may go to the doctor and come back with some negative news. Hey, he may be telling you the boundary's close. You're close to the boundary. You see, the Word of God is a changing element. It's a cleansing element. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Not only is the work of the Word of God is the work of cleansing and the work of changing, it'll change your life. Listen, I'm convinced if every born-again believer here today committed yourself for 1 year to dedicate yourself to read through the Bible, to be at every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and every revival meeting you could possibly be at, you would never turn back. You'd be so hooked to the things of God. What happens, we make all of our resolutions, we come 2 or 3 weeks, and we think, God ain't doing anything same as it was last year. No. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. He hasn't changed. Then that means if He hasn't changed, who's changed? We have. Now, look at this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Have you found your place there? Hebrews 4, 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen to me, church. Not only does the Word of God do the work of cleansing, the work of changing, it does the work of confessing. Yeah, it convicts our heart. And what it does, it brings us to a place that where, you know what? God convicts, and according to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin. There's a big word right at the beginning of that sentence. It's called if. You won't find any confessing going on from people who never get convicted. And you know what? The Word of God convicts us because you know what it'll do? It'll cause us to confess our sins. Because when we look at the Word of God, you know there's a lot of things in there that I think that Christendom, the people of God, don't even realize sin. Why? Because they never read the Bible. But the unfortunate thing is when we face God one day, is ignorance going to be an excuse? Of course not. Why? Because you have the Bible. Some of us have multiple Bibles. Unfortunately, some have too many generics. They're trying to take care of it with a generic brand. You see, it'll cause you to confess sin when you see how God sees it in the Word of God and what we're doing in our life. May I say to you, not only will it cause you to confess sin, it'll cause you to confess our satisfaction. Some of us got real nested here. Boy, we've found our little place and our little niche and we've nested in, and boy, we like how things are going for us. Why? Because we got a little money in our pocket. Things are going well for us. Folks, let me tell you something. As a child of God, this isn't your home. You are a sojourner. You're just passing through here. You see, the thing about it is the reason that some of these things are not interesting some is because we're not in the Word of God. There's no cleansing, no changing. There's no confessing. Hey, you know what else you'll find there? You'll find there that it'll cause you to confess your stewardship and what God has entrusted you with. Do you know the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required? And there are people in this church that have been given incredible talents and abilities that are doing absolutely nothing with them. Absolutely nothing with them. You know what? You read the Word of God, you'll find out there's ministry glory in there, and it'll cause you to confess our failure and our stewardship, our failure of getting satisfied with this world. Hey, it'll also cause us to confess our sin. You see, the Word of God, every time I open it up, it's like seeing myself in a mirror. Every time I open it up, I see myself. You know what I see myself? I see myself as a sinner. I see myself as one that not only is a child of God, but I see myself that, I could be doing so much more for the glory of God. Turn to Hebrews 12, 6, just over a few pages. Not only is the work of the Word of God a cleansing work, a changing work, a confessing work. Hey, I'm telling you today, there's a lot of reason the problems we have in Christian today, not many people confessing anything anymore. Why? Because we don't think we're wrong. We don't think we're doing anything wrong. We've adopted that philosophy they did in the Old Testament where the people of God did that which was right in their own eyes. And we've bought into the situational ethics. Hey, man, preacher, let's move on. Okay? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Okay? Hebrews 12 and verse 6. The Scripture says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Did you notice He says, whom He loveth, He chasteneth? Well, you know what the Word of God, one of the works of the Word of God is? Not just cleansing, changing, not just confessing. One of the works is chastening. the Word of God will chasten you and I. Oh, by the way, to be chastened by God's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Matter of fact, parents, you know what? When you chasten your children, it's not a bad thing. The Scripture says it's a good thing. Because the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from them. It's those that do not correct. That's where the problem comes in. You see, the work of chastening, what it'll do when I open the Word of God and I begin to read it and I begin to apply it, what it'll do is it'll convict my soul. And then once it convicts my soul, it corrects my spirit. You see, what it does, it causes me to get right with God about that area of my life. But you know what else it does? After it convicts me and after it corrects me, oh, it comforts me. It says, hey, you know what? There's hope. There's hope. You're not dead in the water. Hey, it's not the end of the world. You say, oh, but look at all the problems. Hey, it's not the end of the world, folks. It's not the end of the world. I don't care how bad it gets. You see, God does not chasten His children in anger, but rather in tender love and care. You say, why? You know what He's trying to produce? Disciples, not enemies. He's trying to produce disciples. Well, let me give you one more. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. You'll recognize it when you get there. You see, the work of the Word of God, not only is it a cleansing work, changing work, confessing work, chastising work, but it also does the work of calling. It calls. You say, you know what, I've often wondered what that little voice was in my head when I read the Bible that kept telling me, you need to obey this. You see, the Word of God does the work of calling. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by how? The Word of God. Can I say to you this morning that God's calling some here to service? Yeah, He's calling some to service. You know why I know that? Because the Scripture says that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. See, the fields are white. The problem is nobody wants to go pick the fruit. So what happens is it rots in the fields because nobody wants to go and gather it. You say, yeah, but there ain't no glamour preacher and out there gathering in the fields and doing that. Everybody look at you and think, oh, look at you, man. Get a life. The problem is you got a life. And the thing about it is you have the Word of God, which Jesus said that His words are spirit and they are life. I've got it right here. That's the reason I am out in the fields. That's the reason I am out labored. He's calling some to serve. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me, please. Our whole jest this year, our whole desire this year is to minister to the multitudes. Say, what's ministering, preacher? Giving. Desiring to see people's lives turned around for God. You see, He's doing the work of calling. Some here He's already called. You know how I know you hadn't answered? I can see it on your face. Because normally this is pretty much the attitude of people that God's called and they won't answer. And when the preaching goes forth, it's like, you see, the Word of God, when it goes forth this morning, you know what it's doing? It goes forth calling. It's calling some here to service today. May I say to you, it's calling some of us to separation, to separate from the world. Hey, listen, folks, we love this world too much. We're too attached here. And the thing about it is, I don't know if this is going to happen, but this is the way I picture in my mind that there's going to be some that are so attached to the world, when the rapture takes place, they're going to go up upside down because they keep trying to reach for something down here. Wait. Why? Too attached. Hey, He's calling us to separate. We're to be ambassadors. He calls us peculiar. You say, that means weird. Yeah, we're weird. You know why? The thing about it is, though, serving God is the normal thing. The world thinks it's weird. But we're doing what's normal. Serving God. And yet the Word of God, listen, it's calling us to serve. It's calling us to separation. It's calling us to submit, to give up our life for His life, to give up our ways for His ways. Listen to me. if every person in this room, every child of God in this room decided to flood the altar this morning and give up your life for Jesus' life, listen to me, by next Sunday, this auditorium couldn't hold everybody. Because you'd be out, listen, you'd be out every day this week talking to somebody about Jesus. You'd be out doing something to try to minister to somebody to get them into the family of God. You see, the Word of God is calling men to serve, calling us to separate, calling us to submit. But you know, as the Word of God has gone forth this morning, may I say lastly, that it's calling some to salvation this morning. The Word of God is going out. And you know what it's doing? It's going to accomplish the purpose that God sent it for. And some this morning need to be saved. Some need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, there is a very quiet voice this morning that's speaking today. And He's calling the saved to labor in the fields. But He's calling the sinner to leave their foolishness and come and be saved. If you're here this morning without Christ, can I encourage you to come down this morning and get an injection of the blood of Jesus Christ? You know what it'll do? It'll take care of that infection of your soul, the infection of sin. And listen now, He's not going to come looking for you. You're going to have to come here. He's already sent you here this morning. You're here for a reason. If you don't know Christ, come down this morning and the Holy Ghost of God will inject you with the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the working power of the Word of God. Listen, it works cleansing, it works changing, it works through confessing, it works through chastising, and it works calling this morning. And He's calling some to service and some to salvation. Would you bow your heads with me quickly this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. If you're here this morning,